Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today's Friday, March 24, 2023. Okay, we'll see what's going on with the markets here in just a minute. Deutsche Bank has been down the last few days. I'll talk about what's going on there, why some of these concerns might be overblown. We'll talk about the banking issues in general also. AMC, the movie theater company, they recently announced they're going to do a 1-for-10 reverse stock split. The stock has lost a third of its value since that announcement. So we'll talk about what reverse stock splits are and why they often do not work. I had a question recently about why so many companies are incorporated in the state of Delaware. So I'll go over the reasons for that. And today we're going to continue on with options contracts, covering call debit spreads. So we'll talk about what those are. They're actually not that difficult to understand, but anyway, I'll certainly cover what it is. Okay, as far as the markets, right now it is just a little bit afternoon. It's 12:06 in the afternoon Eastern time. Markets are basically flat, just down slightly. We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.14%. S&P 500 down 0.17%. NASDAQ Composite, down 0.37%. The market still has some concerns about the banking issues. You know, we've had some issues. Silicon Valley Bank, we also had Credit Suisse over in Europe, had to be taken over. But it does seem like it's somewhat contained. There's still a concern, though, especially with some regional banks and some overseas banks, that there may suddenly be a panic by their depositors, where they all begin trying to withdraw their money and the bank just may not have it to be able to pay them, although they can quickly get money from other sources. But it seems to be somewhat isolated, but the market is still concerned about that. We've seen some issues, though, that may be overblown with Deutsche Bank over in Germany, symbol DB, Deutsche Bank, David Boy, trades on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. What has happened there? It's not so much an issue with their liquidity or depositor stability. What it is apparently they issued a lot what are called credit default swaps. And what those are, basically, other banks pay you the privilege to insure their deposits if they run into trouble. It's kind of a simple explanation of what they are. But apparently Deutsche Bank did quite a bit of this because they get paid for that. And I guess investors were worried that they're under huge exposure if we have a lot of bank failures, particularly in Europe where they did a lot of these. But other financial analysts have looked at this company's financials. They said, look, you know, the level of their exposure compared to their total asset base is not really that big. It would almost be like an individual, and I'm just making these numbers up, they've guaranteed paying somebody $10,000 if their business fails, but they have $1 million in their bank account. I mean, you know, big deal. They could afford that. So I think this might be being overblown with this company. So there could be some opportunities here. Now, I'll give you an example. This company was trading 2 weeks ago at $17.31 a share. It dropped all the way down to, I think it was about $8.50 a share. It might have been yesterday or today. But anyway, it's back. It's at $9.35 a share now. Still down 3.2%, but I think the stock is bouncing back some, so keep an eye on that one. As far as the banking situation in general, it seems like most banks are solid. First of all, if you got your money in a big national chain like JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, regardless of the amount you have there, you're probably fine. But for anybody listening to this, if you've got more than $250,000, that's FDIC insurance limits, at a regional bank, you might want to keep an eye on that. That could be something to move over to a larger bank because, you know, there's still a possibility we could have some regional banks run into issues. Anything under $250,000, you're fine. That has federal government FDIC insurance. However, anything above that, yeah, it'll be something to look at. By the way, almost all banks have FDIC insurance, but $250,000 per account is the limit protected. But a few do not. So I guess that'd be something to check into if you're at a very small local bank. So anyway, I got that. Also, Federal Reserve announced on Wednesday, they raise interest rates 0.25%. But the Federal Reserve also announced there's probably only going to be one more interest rate increase between now and the end of the year. You know, I've talked about this in the past. The Federal Reserve is trying to slow the economy down to bring inflation down. But when they make a change to interest rates, Federal Reserve does not see full results for 9 to 15 months. So they're probably wanting to take a pause now and see what happens. Also, the Federal Reserve is well aware that the shakiness we've seen in the banking sector, you may have quite a few banks now beginning to cut back on their lending, which will slow the economy down in itself because they want to preserve cash for any possible depositor runs on their account. So we got all that going on also. Now, next Friday is the end of the first quarter of the year. So getting into the, you know, weeks after that, we'll begin to see corporate earnings coming out. So we have all that news also. Okay. I had the question recently, why are so many companies incorporated in Delaware? 60% of the Fortune 500 is actually incorporated in Delaware. And yet that's our second smallest state after Rhode Island. Well, it's actually, some people say it's tax advantages. Not really. I mean, in some cases, there are some tax advantages to being incorporated in Delaware, but they actually have one of the higher corporate tax rates of our 50 states. It's not really that. It's their legal system. They have something there called a court of chancery, court of, and then chancery, C-H-A-N-C-E-R-Y, if you want to do any research on it. It's a very specific court system they have in Delaware that specifically is designed to handle business and corporate cases. And so what happens, it's highly respected by lawyers, businesses, and even investors. They have a lot of precedent. They're known for just clear ways they do things. They're known for being efficient, effective. And it seems to be, when there are disputes with businesses and customers, owners, people like this court of chancery. And so that's why a lot of businesses are incorporated there. It allows them to use that legal system to resolve disputes, and also not just resolve disputes, just conduct a day-to-day business, the legal aspect. So anyway, if you're interested, Google it sometime, whatever search engine you use, Delaware Court of Chancery, and you can learn more about it. All right, so we got that. Okay, AMC, the movie theater company, symbol AMC. All right, they've had some issues. They were having issues even before COVID. People, high-def TVs, staying home, streaming services, then obviously people weren't able to go to the movies during COVID. And even after COVID, it's been found people will go back to the movies to see the big movies, Marvel movies, Avatar, whatever. But they're not going as often to see more the lower budget movies, mid-budgets. And AMC's been having a lot of issues. All right, so just a recap. I've covered this in the past, how stock splits work. Usually it's to lower a company's stock price. Investors like to buy stock usually 100 shares at a time. So if you have a company stock at $50 a share, buy 100 shares, $5,000 investment. But let's say the company has done really well and the stock goes up to say $160 a share. That's an example I've used before. At that point, investors may be shying away from it. It's too expensive for me, $160 a share, $16,000 investment. So what would happen in that case? The board of directors elected by the shareholders to run the company, they may, in this case, declare a 4-for-1 stock split. So what they would say is on a designated day, for every one share of stock you owned at $160 a share, you now own 4 shares at $40. So you don't make or lose money with a stock split. However, a new investor is now coming in buying shares at $40 a share, $4,000 investment for 100 shares, effectively to buying it at one-fourth of an old share. It just makes the stock appear to be more affordable. And the idea more investors buy it, stock price goes up. Okay, so that's a stock split. Now, we have also what are called reverse stock splits. So AMC stock is around $4.50 a share. You know, it varies a little bit, but right around there. Board of Directors has declared a 1-for-10 reverse stock split. They haven't set a date yet that I've been able to see, but a date coming up in the future, let's assume the stock stays at that price. For every 10 shares you would have at $4.50 a share, $45 in value, you'd have one share now at $45 a share. See, now it appears to be a less risky stock. It's not a $4.50 a share stock. Well, the stock was at $6.60 a share when this was announced about a week or so ago. Stock's lost a third of its value since then. Why don't investors like this? Well, a couple of reasons. One, reverse stock splits still aren't dealing with the underlying reasons as to why it is a $4 stock. Also, the company is what they're trying to do, and they've announced this. Companies are limited by how many shares of new stock they can issue, although that can be raised over time. It has to be approved by shareholders. What they're doing is they want to reduce the number of shares that they have outstanding so that they can issue more shares to raise money. And investors don't like this. As a matter of fact, some of them are threatening lawsuits, basically saying, yep, you're still not dealing with underlying issues. You're bringing in more owners. It's going to dilute the stock. All right, you're bringing in more money for what? You know, you need to put people in the theaters. So anyway, that's what's going on there with that one. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right. So let's talk now about, last thing today, call debit spreads. All right. I'm going to use Starbucks as an example. Let's say stock symbol is SBUX, Sam Boy Uncle X-Ray. Stock is around $98 a share right now. Let's say that you think Starbucks is going to go up, for whatever reason. Okay. So you don't want to go out and buy 100 shares of stock at $98 a share. It's a $9,800 investment. But you think it's going to go up over the next few months. So what you could do is go out and buy what's called a call options contract. Now, I've talked about this in the past. A call options contract usually controls 100 shares of stock. It gives you the right, but not the obligation, to buy 100 shares, in this case, Starbucks stock, between now, let's say July, third Friday in July. It's about 4 months from now. Okay, so let's say, how much would that cost? All right, so let's go back to the website of Chicago Board Options Exchange, cboe.com. Click on data up top. And then on the next screen, type in the stock symbol, SBUX. One more step. Click on data. And then what you want to do is you click on data and then quotes dashboard. Data and then quotes dashboard. Okay, and then on the next screen, in that box, you see it popping up, SBUX, click on search. Okay, and then on the next screen, click where it says options. It's one of the third heading there. Okay, and then on the next screen, what you wanna do is go over to expiration, it's over on the right, and click on July. Okay, click on July, and we'll talk put option contracts let you sell a stock at a guaranteed price, but in this case we're just going to look at calls. Okay, these options would expire at the end of the business day on Friday, July 21st. Let's take a look at a strike price of 100. Okay, what this does, this contract gives you the right but not the obligation to buy 100 shares of Starbucks at $100 a share between now and July 21st. Okay, it has no value right now because you could actually just buy the stock at $98 a share in the market. Why pay $100? But it could have value if the stock starts going up. So first of all, this contract, how much would it cost? We're going to look at what's called the asking price. That's the buying price, $5.55 times 100 shares. It cost you $555 a share. Okay, so let's look at the scenarios first with this. You buy this contract for $555. And there might be commissions also, but for now I'm gonna leave those out. Varies by brokerage firm. All right. If the stock does not go above $100 a share, say it just goes down or stays where it is, this contract will expire worthless, has no value. So your maximum loss is what you paid for it, $555 a share. However, you have unlimited profits. Let's say the stock goes to $200 a share. You have a contract that lets you buy 100 shares at $100 a share, theoretically sell at $200. You don't actually have to buy the stock, by the way. What happens at what's called settlement when the contracts expire, you're just credited the difference. But in this case, it's a $100 difference times 100 shares. You just made a $10,000 investment a $10,000 profit on a $555 investment. See how this works? So profits are unlimited. But let's say you don't really think it's going to go up that much. For whatever reason, you don't think between now and third Friday in July, it's going to go above $115 a share. So what you do in this case, you buy the call options contract, strike price of 100, but then you sell the contract at a strike price of 115. You give somebody else the ability to buy the stock away from you at $115 a share. Now, in this case, you'd be looking at the bid because you're selling it. That's $103. So let's look at our scenarios now. You paid $555 for the first contract, strike price of 100. You get 103 back for selling the 115 strike price, and you ended up paying $452. That is your maximum loss. It's also your cost, $452 versus $555. But now you're limiting your profits to a maximum $15 a share. So if the stock goes above 115, what would happen is you buy it theoretically at 100, somebody else calls the stock away from you at 115, you still made a $1,500 profit on a $452 investment, more than tripled your money in just a period of 4 months. See how this works? Now, so that's how these work. The reason they're called debit spreads is you're spreading out between two options. They're call option contracts, and the debit is you're still paying $452. So basically, they're not difficult, but that's how they work. Now, if the stock finishes between 100 and 115, what would happen is, it would still have value. I mean, you could theoretically buy it at 100. Say it finishes at 112. Buy it at 100, sell it at 112. Well, it's $12 profit. Just credit it to your account, $1,200. And the 115 contract expires worthless. But you're maxing your profits out at 115, $15 a share. So that's how these basically work. I'll talk more about them on the next session, give you another example. But one thing to let you know before I wrap it up today, you always would want to buy the $100 contract first before selling the 115. Don't leave yourself exposed. I'll talk about scenarios where you could have halts on the stock, all kinds of things. All right. So always buy the one called the long position. Buy that one first before selling the call options contract at 115. But in reality, many, if not most, brokerage firms would allow you to enter it as a single trade. Yeah, you're buying the 100 strike price, selling the 115 at the same time. And then in this case, it would cost you $452. Anyway, so hopefully I wasn't too confusing. I'll go over it again more on the next session, and then I'll talk about credit call option contracts. But anyway, we'll get to those. They're called call debit spreads. They also have different names, called vertical call spreads. They're also called bull call spreads and also long call spreads. I'll go over in the next session specifically why they're called each of those names, but that'll be for the next session. So anyway, hope everyone's doing well. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bill. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. See ya.